Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this evening is in your bulletin on page number 7. We read from John chapter 18. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" So far the word. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, you see in your bulletin what our theme word is for tonight. It's something that I'm sure every one of us has had. Misunderstandings. They happen all the time. They happen between a student and a teacher. "Really, Mr. Smith? I didn't know we had an assignment for today." Or they might happen between a husband and a wife. "But dear, I thought you said you were stopping at Quick Trip, not me." Misunderstandings sometimes can be very simple and almost humorous. Others can be extremely serious, even in a spiritual way, like we have before us tonight. Misunderstanding, of course, is something that has not been around forever. You go back to the Garden of Eden, and you had perfect understanding between Adam and Eve, between them and God. Perfect understanding. Until, of course, the devil came in that serpent and tried to plant seeds of doubt and misunderstanding in Eve's mind. Remember that question? Did God really say? Trying to get her to doubt? No. Did you really understand God right with what he had said? Of course, we know what happened after that. And ever since then, the devil has been on that same prowl as that roaring lion, looking for ways to get us to trip. Always having that terrible goal in his mind. He wants to use misunderstandings to pull us away from Christ, to ruin that relationship that we have with God. So now tonight, you heard the setting in which we find ourselves. The soldiers have come out to the Garden of Gethsemane for the sole purpose of taking Jesus captive. What we read makes it so plain that Jesus did not go against his will. For one thing, when Jesus saw that the soldiers were coming in with Judas, what did he do? Those simple words. Jesus stepped forward. He had spent that time praying to his Father. He knew now. No, there was no other way for sin to be paid for. And so he stepped forward. But even that's not enough. Look at what he says twice. His word was enough to bowl those soldiers over like they'd been hit by a tornado. Jesus did not have to go with them against his will. He, on purpose, surrendered his life. Wasn't taken from him. How plain we see that here. And it's all because Jesus knew what kind of a mission he was on. His mission was spiritual in nature. He had come to defeat not earthly armies. He had come to defeat a spiritual foe, the devil himself. And if he was going to do that, Jesus knew he had to die. But here's where you see the misunderstanding. Here was Peter, a fisherman. Now, I often wonder to myself why Peter even had a sword to begin with. A fisherman? No wonder we see what happens next. Where Peter drawing out this sword, I picture him not even knowing how to use the thing, you know, flailing around with it and with the helmets they used to wear. Yeah, a sword could glance off a helmet and take off a person's ear as it did. He didn't get it. Peter didn't understand what Jesus' mission really was. If only he'd been paying attention, perhaps, to when Jesus had fed those 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Remember when they tried to make him a king? What did Jesus do? Peter was there. He saw it. Jesus left. He wasn't there to be an earthly king. Or all the times that Jesus talked to his disciples, pulling them aside privately on the way to Jerusalem. What did he say? The Son of Man is going to Jerusalem, where he will be betrayed and beaten and crucified and die and will rise again. The whole thing was laid out before them. Peter was there. He heard it. But he didn't understand it. And so he took out his sword. It may well be that you and I don't have swords to take out. Fortunately so. But it still does happen to us today that we find ourselves being like Peter, in that we are tempted and fall prey to this sin of misunderstanding, especially what Jesus is about. Allow me to give you three examples of ways that we can misunderstand Jesus. Things that we see others getting caught up in that we could also. For example, we might misunderstand Jesus by looking to him as a source for material, earthly blessings, and nothing really more than that. What that does, if we understand Jesus to be that kind of a God, it makes him into kind of a divine Santa Claus, filling life with good things. Now, What's the problem with that? The problem comes that then, if that's what we understand God to be, and Jesus' mission, all about blessing us with material things, then what can happen is when we come before God with sorrow over our sins, it can be for the wrong reason. It's simply because we think our sins are going to deprive us of material blessings. And that's the reason we're sorry. Because we won't get the good stuff we think God should give us. Instead of being sorry for sin, because our sins grieve God and hurt other people. That's one way we can be tempted to misunderstand what Jesus is all about. Another way is if we look to God and Jesus and his mission only when the hour of death comes. When it comes time for us to enter eternity. Because if we look at Jesus' mission that way, we have just turned the gospel message into an insurance policy. A policy whose value begins only at death. What does that do? If all that Jesus is about is my end of life, then the temptation is to think that everything that comes before then, no big deal. I can live how I want. I'm not going to be looking to see what God has to say to my living today. I'm only going to look at him as the Lord for tomorrow. And I'm not going to look to Jesus as one to strengthen me to overcome sin and to fight temptation and to live a Christian life today. What one more possibility? That is, we can misunderstand Jesus and his whole mission if we see being part of a church as nothing more than a status symbol. That being part of his church is something that is in name only. That a person could say, I'm a member of the church simply to have a place to be, as they say, married and buried, but nothing more. Misunderstanding Jesus' mission. Yeah, the temptations are there to think that he's only about material blessings, to think that he's only for tomorrow, to think that it's simply a matter of having my name on the records. Misunderstandings. It is such a blessing. Such a blessing that while you and I face temptations to misunderstand Jesus' mission, Jesus never did. Never. Never. Not even once. He always had in mind his reason for coming to the earth. Nothing sidetracked him. He knew he had come to seek and to save the lost. You notice in this text, great example of Jesus not letting anything deter him from his goal. What happened? Well, the sword's coming out. Peter's sword. Jesus didn't get sidetracked. He didn't look at Peter and, hey, great idea, guy. Let's get at it. No. He didn't get taken in by the moment. He told Peter to put his sword away, that he needed to drink the cup that his father had given him. Of course, the other thing we see with the way Jesus spoke to the soldiers that had come. He wanted to make it plain to them that he was the one that they were to take, not anyone else. He says, let these go their way. What beautiful words to speak. Words that were spoken to the disciples then. Wonderful that they were able to get away with their lives. But picture those words being spoken to us as well. That we can be let go as Jesus says so. What do I mean? Jesus tells us, all of your sin is mine. You can go in peace. The death we deserved, the hell we deserved, Jesus says, that's mine. It's all taken care of. He did things in our place, as Isaiah said. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. By his suffering, his death, we are healed. So we can go our way. We have no more condemnation and death and hell hanging over our heads. We're free to go on our way to heaven. So tonight we close by asking God to help us that we don't fall into those sins of misunderstandings about our Savior, but rather that he give us his Holy Spirit so that it's always in our minds, that we always understand that in this Jesus, our redemption is accomplished. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.